Okay, good evening and welcome to Rock Solid Faith. And Pastor Spencer was not able to be here this evening, so I've been asked to fill in. So I am thrilled because tonight we're going to be talking about who's your daddy. And this means Father God, and I love Father God. So we're going to be talking about him tonight and who he is to us and who we are to him. And so we'll be in the very first book, the first chapter, the first book. Okay. Our goal tonight, okay, is so that we will have a full understanding of who our Father in heaven really is, who he really is. There are many misconceptions about who God is. Unless you've grown up in a Christian home that was a Bible-believing Christian home, you will have heard many, many things, I know I did, that were wrong beliefs about God and wrong beliefs about who God says we are and who God has created us to be. So we're going to straighten those out tonight because we have an awesome Heavenly Father. You've heard it say that God works in mysterious ways, and that implies that God wants to be mysterious, that maybe God doesn't really want his ways known. That is so false. That is not a true statement. Listen to a couple scriptures. John 15, 14 through 15 says, "Ye are my friends, okay, if you do whatever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all the things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you." So God is calling us friends, not servants. Okay, and in the Message Bible, this reads, "You are my friends when you do the things I command you. I'm no longer calling you servants because servants don't understand what their master is thinking and planning. No, I have named you friends because I've let you in on everything that I've heard from my Father in heaven." Okay. So God wants us to know him, and he wants us to know him in a very personal way, intimate, personal way. So tonight, when we're studying these things, please don't look at what we're saying as something intellectual that you can say, okay, God is A, B, C, D. My prayer for us tonight is that each of us, myself included, as we go through the attributes of God, who God is, that we will really look at not just identifying him, but look at the person of God, the being of God who created us. He is spirit, we are spirit, and he wants a close relationship with us. So we'll look at relationships tonight. Okay, you know how many people here are married or have been married at one point? Okay, you know how it is between a husband and a wife? There are certain topics when you're out in public that are not to be discussed, you know, and usually it's the wife telling the hubby, "Do not talk to Tom about," and so you get out and you're having a good time. Sure enough, Tom is there. Before you know it, you're talking to Tom about, and you look over at your wife, and she gives you that look, and you know you're dead meat. You'll probably be sleeping on the couch for a week, okay? Well, God wants us to know him as deeply and as intimately as a husband and a wife know each other. He wants us really to know about him, what he thinks, what his heart is like for us and for people. And he wants us to know when we hear things that are false beliefs about God, he wants us to know personally that those are wrong because we personally know God and we know the truth of God. Getting to know God means we really need to be able to trust him. That can be difficult. Many of us may have grown up with fathers who were not able to be trustworthy. Their fathers may not have been trustworthy. We've grown up in a broken, fallen world. And I could wish for all of us that we grew up with godly men as fathers. But most of us have not. And so many times it's difficult to relate to our Heavenly Father because we've had difficulties with our earthly father. Okay? And God wants us to be able to overcome that and to be able to trust him. And so that's part of the reason why he sent Jesus as his only begotten son, to show us the Father. Everything Jesus said and did, his Father in heaven told him to say and do. So when we look at what Jesus said and did, that's a mirror image of God the Father. And of course, Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit are one. But just for us to realize that. Okay, the word also tells us the truth about God. What we believe in terms of God is that he is one true God, that he's revealed himself as the eternally self-existent, self-revealed, in quotes, I am. And has further revealed himself as embodying the principles of relationship and association. And by that, he's revealed himself in the Trinity as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God has created us to be part of his family. He wants to be Father, the Holy Spirit, to be the Spirit within us, and his Son to be our Savior, our brother. And so that's a relationship. That is what he wants from us. That is his plan, and that is our destiny in him. Okay. God isn't a man. Okay. He is a supernatural being. He is spirit. And John 4:24 says, God is sheer being itself. He is spirit. Those who worship him must do it out of their very being, their spirits, their true selves, in adoration to God. In the King James Version, that same scripture says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It's just a spirit-to-spirit world we now are living in. Okay, now spirit doesn't have a physical body. So God as spirit doesn't have a physical body, but he can manifest himself in physical bodies and in physical ways. An example of this is Exodus 33:21-23. And the Lord said, here is a place by me. He's talking to Moses here. He's about to pass by Moses and show Moses his glory. But he couldn't show his face to Moses, or he was so glorious. Moses would not have survived that. So he's going to show Moses his backside, which is still very glorious. Okay, how many of our backsides are glorious? I'm sorry, some of these things are cool. So he said, okay, the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on this rock. So it shall be when my glory passes by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen by you. And we know, too, in Scripture that in one of the times that Moses came down from the mountain when he'd been with God, there was such a glory of God on the mountain. When Moses came down, he literally radiated and shone so brightly that people could not stand to look at him. They had to actually put a veil over his face. So we need to realize God is mighty, mighty God. Okay, the nature of our Father is four main points. I guess we're going to make some points here, but we need to see God in them. Okay, first of all, he is all powerful. Okay, he's not weak, but again, he's supernatural, and he can accomplish anything. He created the world. He created the universe. Nothing is too difficult for him. In Revelation 19:6, we heard, okay, I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Okay, omnipotent means all powerful. God is also, the second point, is all knowing. Okay. There's nothing that your Father does in heaven doesn't know or understand. The word tells us he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He has emotions like we do, so he knows when we're happy and sad. He can totally relate to that completely. He knows all our secrets, even before they're whispered. He knows the beginning and the end of our lives and all and everything that goes in between in great detail. What a relief, okay, because if we listen to him and follow his leading and guiding, we will never fail. We'll never fail if we listen to him and follow his leading and guiding, because he knows the end from the beginning. Many times we can look at something, and in our own natural mind and wisdom, we try to pick the right choice or do the right thing. But many times, because of circumstances beyond our control, things happen, and it doesn't turn out well. But God knows exactly what will happen. So sometimes he has us do something different or pick something different, a different choice, realizing he knows what the end will be, and then he makes it turn out all right. He works all things together for good. Not all things in this world are good. We live in a fallen world, but God has the power and the knowledge to work it all together if we will surrender to him and really seek his guiding and his leading in our lives. He wants to guide and lead us. He's so pleased when we say, you know, Father God, please, show me the way. Show me which choice I should make. You know, be that path for me. Show me the next step that I should take. His word says he's a light unto, he's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path as we go. Okay. He can count the number of stars. He calls all the stars by name. I mean, he just knows everything. Daddy is also all present, okay? Means that your Holy Father in heaven is not up just up there and forgets about us because he's so busy. You know, when we pray to him, he doesn't put us on hold while he finishes another phone call or another prayer with someone else. He is all present. He can listen to all the prayers of the world at the same time and answer them and change circumstances and work in people's lives. All at the same time. He's all present. When it gets quiet at night and nobody seems to be around, our Daddy God is present with us, waiting to talk to us and comfort us. He wants to spend that intimate, intimate time with us. And there is a time on this whole planet when God is right now talking to Christians all over this world. And we've got with the internet and YouTube and all these things, we can hear what's happening in other nations. God is wanting to draw closer to his people. He's wanting us to draw closer to him, more intimacy, more depth, more relationship with him. This is his call right now to us. So this is great that we're studying this tonight. Okay. The Lord says that he is the one who goes before us. He will be with us. He will never leave or forsake us, ever, ever, ever. And do not fear or be dismayed. How many here have ever struggled, I'm asking because I have, with abandonment or feeling that someone will not stand by us, betrayal, those types of things. I mean, those are parts of the world. God, if he hasn't proven it and shown it to you yet in your life experience, he will. He is faithful. He is true. He will never leave or forsake us. And for some of us who have had major challenges in our lives in those areas, he heals that within us so that that fear is no longer affecting us, where he frees us from the fear of those things. He's awesome God. He's our big brother and our protector. So Joshua 1:5 says, no man shall be able to stand before you, meaning God, all the days of your life. Nope, that isn't right. Excuse me, Joshua. This is God speaking to Joshua, who was going to take over for Moses. Because Moses is going to leave leading. Joshua has been studying under Moses to lead this mighty nation of Israel while they're in the desert and the wilderness. So this is this is being spoken to Joshua. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. And God tells him, be strong and courageous, that God will go before him And God tells us in his word that the battle is the Lord's. The battle belongs to the Lord. So many times we can get caught up with feeling that we're the ones having to battle. We need to stand in prayer, and having done all, stand therefore. But the actual battle belongs to him, because our enemy, the devil, is God's enemy. Okay, the personality and characteristics of our Father. First of all, God is love, tremendous love. He's the very encapsulation of love. Someone have had dads who were maybe mean, cruel, or uncaring. Some may have had dads who ignored or were just never even had a dad that was around. Sometimes we've had dads, but they were actually so within themselves, or they felt themselves so separate from the family that they were not actively being father. They were not fathering us as children, you know. And so our dad in heaven is nothing like that. He cares for us. He protects us. He looks out for us. 1 John 4:8 says, He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Agape love is God's kind of love, and this is how Daddy God loves us. Okay. 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. This is what God's love does. Listen to all the things it does. Okay. God's love never gives up. It cares more for others than for self. Doesn't want what it doesn't have. In other words, it's not covetous and greedy. Okay. Love doesn't strut around, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first, me, mine. Okay. Doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others, doesn't revel when others are groveling or in a hard place. Doesn't take pleasure with the flowering of the truth. Love will put up with anything. Okay. Trust God always. Love trusts God always. It always looks for the best in people. It never looks for the lack. Okay. And love also keeps going and going and going. It's like the Energizer Bunny. It keeps going and going and going. You know, our pastor has pastored for many years, and there have been people that he knows who have walked away from God through different circumstances in life. And pastor still, those people could be all over anywhere in the United States. He will call them. He will write them letters. He will text to them. He will just say, I just called to let you know I love you. God loves you. How's it going? I mean, he keeps loving and reaching out to those who have rejected God, you know, and this is God's love. He's being an instrument through whom God is flowing to reach out to love people who are really in a hard place, you know. So this is what we need to do, be Energizer Bunnies for God's love. Okay. I also wanted to just say, given all of the descriptions we have of what love is not, okay, sometimes in life, we have what I call villages, like groups of people who may not be people who know God, who may not be those who walk in love or walk in consideration. They may be people who have torn us down and tear others down, that belittle us. Some people do that. They're a village that does that. Everybody in the village does that. That's sort of the way to be and do. When we come to Christ, we are a new creation, okay? And the love of God does not want us in that kind of village, because it actually hurts God's heart when these people are hurting his children, okay? We are a new creation. We need to be growing and finding out who we are in God, really trusting God and allowing him to heal those areas in our lives that need healing. We sometimes can have villages in our mind, in our memories, maybe growing up. We may have had family who did not see any potential in us, who may have have felt like we were like a dropout, or we were the scum of the earth. We were dirt. Nothing we could do would ever be right. We never could earn or have favor or love or approval from our parents. And I know many parents, that's not the issue. But for many of us, I think, we have memories of things. If it's not our early childhood, maybe it's a job situation where we were treated unfairly, we were not treated well. And we need to love those people. But at the same time, there's a tendency as people, as humans, to still dwell in our psyche in those villages. We still allow those villages, okay, to have an influence on our lives in the here and the now. And as new creations in God, we are beloved of God. We have the mind of Christ. You know, there is no limit to what we can do, and there's no limit to what God, through us, wants to do for our destiny. And so there are like these villages of wrong thinking and things that are unbelief in terms of the truth of the Word of God. I don't think I'm explaining this well. Anyway, that we just need to leave behind and just say, that was that village. What happened in my past does not determine my destiny. We need to know that what happened in my past does not determine my destiny. We can say that, but still many times we allow that village influence to still be in our memory and in our minds. You know, so I'm just saying that God in his love is saying, let it go. Just say, that's not me. I am a new creation. That is not me. You know, and this is who I am. And part of what we'll be going through and what Pastor Spencer wrote this book for is for us to discover the love of God, his great love, and also his plan for us. And it's glorious. It's glorious what he's done. He has set us free from all the broken things in this world. He is such a good Papa God, a good Daddy God. Okay, so God is also filled with wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1:20 through 25. It says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of the age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message that's preached to save those who believe. For the Jews requested a sign and the Greeks seeked after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jew a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ is the power of God. Christ is the wisdom of God. Okay. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. I love that scripture. Romans 11:33 says, oh, the depths and the riches both of wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways are past finding out. He's just awesome, and he's past our understanding. He wants us to understand him, but he is so great. Our understanding is not large enough to consider all of him, to understand all of him. He is huge. Okay. God is also good. Okay. Many times people may not understand why bad things have happened in their lives. They may have had a child who had died. They may have lost a job. There may be wars. There may be other death in the family. They may feel that God has taken things away from them. But those are all false beliefs. That is not what our Papa God does. Okay, the one who does the things I just listed is Satan. He has come to rob and steal and kill from us. We have an enemy, and he's real, and he wants to rob and kill and steal. But the good news is our God, Jesus Christ, has already defeated Satan. He defeated him, and now we are here just to be the executives of his victory over Satan in this world. So again, true beliefs. The evil things on this planet are there because the evil one is living in this planet, meaning the devil. People do evil things that cause evil results. There's sowing and there's reaping. And again, it's not God that's causing them, it's Satan. John 10:10 says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Okay. God is not the thief, killer, or destroyer. Satan is. Jesus came that we might have life and life more abundantly. And Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Okay. So he is truly our rescuer, our champion in this. Romans 2:4 says, "Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" Psalm 145:9 says, "The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all of his works." Next, our God is faithful. A loyal person is one who stands by you. People will fail us. People will fail us, even though they don't want to fail us, because we're not perfected yet. We're not perfect yet. We're still all in process. Even our closest friends who love us may fail us, okay? But God will never, ever fail us, okay? Deuteronomy 7:8 says, "But because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand. He delivered them and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations for those who love him and keep his commandments." So God is love, he's filled with wisdom, he's good, he's faithful, and he's also, the next one, full of mercy. When we deserve punishment for something, mercy is given by God many times. This doesn't always happen in life, and I know Pastor Spencer shares stories about he and his sisters. Pastor Spencer will say, "I was a bad child. He got in a lot of trouble. I think he got a lot of spankings. But occasionally, he was not the one that had done something wrong. It was one or both, because sometimes his sisters ganged up on him. Both of his sisters. And so they would do something and blame him. And he would say, "It wasn't me." But because usually it was him, he didn't get believed. So he did not always receive mercy from his parents. Sometimes he got punished for things he had not done. So, and I think his mom said to him, "Honey, even if you really didn't do this, I'm sure there are other things you did do that were wrong that you didn't get punishment for. So it all evens out in the end." So, okay. Psalm 106 says, "Praise the Lord, O give thanks for the Lord, for he is good. His mercies endure forever." Okay. Psalm 136:1-3 says, "O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures." O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Okay. Those are all different translations. Okay, we're good. God is also full of grace. So he is love, he is filled with wisdom, he is faithful, he is good, he is full of mercy, and he's full of grace. Thank God for grace. Do I hear that? Okay. One of the best definitions the pastor has heard is that God's riches at Christ's expense defines grace. It's the G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. We're able to obtain God's best, not because we deserve it, but because someone else paid for it. Everything that God does for us isn't because we deserve it. It is because he loves us, but it's because it was paid for by Jesus Christ. Okay. It's like getting used to somebody else's car. You don't have to make the payment. You don't have to put gas in the car, but you get to use it. It's as if it's your own, but it's not paid for by you. It's paid for by someone else, and in this case, Jesus Christ. Okay, Acts 20-23 says, but what matters most to me is to finish what God has started. The job the Master Jesus gave me of letting everyone know all about this incredibly extravagant generosity of God. Let me read that again. What matters most to me, this is Paul, is to finish what God has started. The job the Master Jesus gave me of letting everyone that I know all about this incredibly extravagant generosity of God. Okay, that's in the Message Bible. Okay. Grace is also gives us power to live for God. So it's also our power. God is also holy. God is pure without sin. Leviticus 20-26 says, God lives holy lives before me. No, we need to live holy lives before him. And then God says, I, God, am holy. And that's the passage that says, be holy for I am holy. Sin cannot be in God's presence. This is why when we ask for forgiveness, that the blood of Jesus washes away our sins, and then we can be in the presence of God again. We're purified by the shed blood of Jesus Christ so that our holy dad can spend time with us. He wants that more than anything else. Your dad will never tempt you with sin or use sin as a tool in your lives. Many people who are Christians believe that God tempts with sin. That is not true. It is a false belief, and it is not supported by the Word of God. God does not tempt us with sin. James 1:13-15 says, don't let anyone under pressure to give in to evil say, God is trying to trip me up. God is impervious to evil and puts evil in no one's way. The temptation to give in to evil comes from us and from us only. Okay. It's our own flesh that's rising up. Okay, and the cure for that is to come to the foot of the cross, to lay down that flesh, to reckon the old man dead, and then the new man alive unto Christ Jesus. And God gives us freedom. Okay, let's see. Our Father God is also fair and just. And it's important for us that we try to live lives that exemplify our Father in heaven. People have been students of church statistics, and they've done a lot of surveys and that type of thing, and they find that major things in life, like giving, they'll do a survey of churchgoers, how much they gave during the year, like to charities and things like that, and then people who don't go to church, how much they've given, or they go to for people who are in church and say, how many of you are involved in pornography, and then to people who are not involved in church, how many of you are involved in pornography, and the statistics show that there are only a few points difference between these two statistics. So we should be living our lives that really reflect the nature and the character and the love of God, you know, and giving God as a giver. I mean, you know, John 3:16 says that God gave his only son because of his love for us, you know, and he gave his son to die for us because of his love for us. And, so God likes it when we give, you know. He's a giver. So he likes to give through us to other people, whether it's money or gifts or talents, time, those types of things. There are also times in our lives when God needs to discipline us, okay? And he doesn't have favorites. He's no respecter of persons. And the reason he disciplines us is because he wants us to be restored into fellowship. He wants us to be able to live lives that are successful and good. And usually, well, the things that God has identified as sins are things that destroy the family. They destroy our integrity. They destroy the lives of other people around us. So God wants us to be able to walk in integrity, in love, in joy, and success in this world. Okay. God does get angry at times. Okay. And it's important we honor our Father and we abstain from things that will make him angry. The reason God gets angry is because it destroys his relationship with us. When we sin, it really destroys relationship because sin cannot be in his presence. And again, it's so easy for us to address this. Sometimes we don't intend to sin, but we really have messed up. And we really need to know that our God loves us and wants us to come back to us. So we're doing a little demonstration. And I have a wonderful young man here with an umbrella. And he's coming up here. This is quick. Okay. He represents God. This is God. And he's going to hold up that umbrella so I can get under it too. And God is like the covering and protection. He gives provision for us. And when I'm walking in loving God, in obeying his word, and being just loving to other people, then I'm under this, and there's safety here because God wants to keep me safe. It isn't that I earn this. It's just that I put myself in a place to be able to receive his goodness under this umbrella. But now I'm at work, and I want a promotion. And so I'm really angry at this other gal, Bev. And so I start making trouble for Bev at work and trying to make her look bad. You know, I throw out one of her reports that was supposed to be turned in and speak to some other people saying, did you know that Bev said this and Bev said that when she didn't? And so those things get back to my boss. And so my boss is deciding, okay, am I going to promote Julie or am I going to promote Bev? Who am I going to do? And I keep doing all these things. Now, is what I'm doing okay? No, I'm lying, right? And I'm giving like a false witness to Bev. I'm setting her up. What's my motive? Yep, me, yep. It's greed and it's me and wanting to have a place for me and a position for me and a name. It's pride, all those things. So suddenly, all of what I've done is uncovered and exposed. The truth comes out. Truth. God is a just God. He likes to bring truth out. And so the truth comes out. My boss finds out. And she says, Julie, we need to have a sit-down talk. Not only will you not be promoted, you may get fired. So I'm now in a position of, oh, my goodness, I've sown this. I'm reaping this. I realize it. And I say, God, where'd the umbrella go? How come you're not protecting me? Why am I here, you know? And then I realize I'm the one. God didn't leave me, okay? I left God. I moved out from under his covering. So I say, okay, God, I'm so sorry. I mean, I have really been wretched. I mean, I am really just, my heart is horrible, God. Please forgive me. Cleanse me by the blood of Jesus. I'm coming back. And you can see God is coming back as well. He meets me. When I make one inch step towards God in repentance, he'll come a mile. He'll come a mile because he wants that relationship renewed. So if we ever mess up, we need to not be sitting there thinking, oh no, what do I do? The word says he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He wants this relationship. You know, does he loves us? And that blood of Jesus literally will wash away whatever we have done or not said that we should have, and we are clean. And God literally throws and casts our sin as far as the east is from the west, and he remembers it no more, as if it never happened. It's a brand new start. And in the mercy section, it says his mercies are new every morning and every afternoon and every evening. So he's a good God. Thank you so much. So we need to be aware of that. Okay, so our God is, we need to make sure that we are aligning ourselves with God, or he will allow natural consequences to bring discipline into our lives, you know, out of love. So, okay, God is also sovereign. You've heard it said that God can do anything he wants to do, whatever he wants to do things, and he could accept that he has limited himself and he has set boundaries on himself not to do two things that God will not do, okay, is that he will not go against his word and his written word. Psalm 138:2 says, I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. God literally puts his word above his name. Okay, and name, our names that we use nowadays don't necessarily have meaning, but in the Old Testament times, names were everything. Names were who you are and what you did. And you named your children based on who they would be and what they would do. So God's name is to be honored. We are to live according to the fear of the Lord, this reverential awe of God, to reverence him, to honor him, to lift up his name. His name is holy. But he puts his word above his name. Okay, the second thing is, he will never go against the will of man or woman. He will never go against our will. He has given us free will, and he values our love to him as a free will love to him. We can choose not to love God. He doesn't make us love him. If he could make us love him, he would not value that love, but he loves the love that we freely give him. So those are the two limits that he's placed on himself. Now, we are at a place where we're coming to the names of God. And again, who he is reflected in the names. And these are the names that God has given himself so that we will know who he is and what he does in relation to us. Okay, the first is, well, like an earthly dad is a father or a man is a son, that type of thing. It describes relationship. Okay, first of is Jehovah, which means Lord. It can also be pronounced Yahweh. Okay, and it's a contractual name of God. Okay, this is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Deuteronomy 6:4, it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. So Jehovah is Lord. His next name is Jehovah Jireh, okay? And that means the Lord will provide. And it says, Genesis 22:14 says, And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide, as it is said unto this day. And in the mountain of the Lord it shall be provided. So God to us is provider. He wants to make sure that we not only have more than enough to pay our bills and for clothing and food, but we have more than enough to give. Again, his heart is giving to bless other people, to reach out to other people. Okay. The next one is Jehovah Rapha. Okay. It's the Lord who heals. And Exodus 15:26 says, If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians. God wants to heal us. He wants us whole and well. And we had talked before about some people believing that God puts things on people that he doesn't. Again, there are many people who love God who believe that God has put sickness on them. And that is not biblical either. It is a false belief. God does not give us sickness. He wants us whole. Jesus is our healer. And he took all of these diseases that are in the world today upon himself, upon the cross. Okay, and he did away with the curse. The diseases were a curse. He did away with that curse for our sake. So we're freed from that curse. And we're freed from the curse of the law through his death on the cross. So we can stand and we can declare, I am healed and I am whole. Okay. The next is Jehovah Nissi, which means the Lord my banner. And it says Exodus 17, 15 through 16, Moses built an altar called its name, the Lord is my banner. For he said, because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. So the Lord is your banner of protection, okay, but will also fight for you. So God fights for us again. He's won the battle, but he will fight as we administer his victory. He fights for us and stands with us. Okay, the next is Jehovah Shalom. It's the Lord our peace. The Lord gives peace. It says Judges 6:24. Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it the Lord is peace. To this day it is still in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. Shalom also, the Lord is our peace. Peace in the Hebrew means a lot more than just peace. It's wholeness and well-being. You know, it's something when you say peace to you, it's a real blessing that encompasses every part of your life. Whole life blessing. Okay. Jehovah Tzidkenu, okay, it's the Lord our righteousness. And it says, in those days Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell safely. And this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. So our standing with God is not because of what we can do, but because of who he is. So when we look at our righteousness in God, we know it's not because we are righteous in and of ourselves. The righteousness that we stand in so that we can approach God and have relationship is because of the atoning death of Jesus Christ on the cross. He took all our sin on the cross. He paid the penalty for that sin so that we would never have to pay the penalty. And when we choose Jesus, when we say, God, be my Savior, come in, you know, take over my life, he gives us a robe of righteousness, literally a robe of righteousness that we put on so we can come into the presence of God. And when God looks at us, he sees the righteousness of his Son. Some other people explain it as Jesus being like a prism, you know, prism with the light that goes through and refracting like the rainbow, that Jesus is that prism and he's that mediator between God and man. So when we approach God, our Papa God looks down at us and he looks through Jesus Christ, that prism, and he sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Okay? But we are being made more sanctified, more like Christ as we grow in him. God wants us to be changed and transformed into Jesus Christ. And again, with God, that's not just an outer what we're doing or saying. That's an inner being. In our being, there is an inner transformation making us more and more like God, more and more like Jesus Christ. So we are not God, but more and more like him in terms of his attributes and characteristics. Okay, the next one is Jehovah Shammah, which is the Lord is present. Ezekiel 48:35 says, all the way around shall be 18,000 cubits, and the name of the city from that day shall be, the Lord is here, Shammah. Shammah means the Lord is here. Father, our God, the Father is everywhere at all times and is with us no matter where we are. He's watching us and he's walking with us through every situation, through every situation. As we grow in him, we're more and more aware of his presence surrounding us and covering us, his grace surrounding us as we go, so that the attacks of the enemy coming against us have to go through him before they can come to us. And he's also given us the armor of God that we can put on as well, to shield us from attacks from the enemy. Okay, the last one is Jehovah Sabaoth, which is the Lord of hosts, the Lord Almighty, the King of glory. Isaiah 1:24 says, therefore the Lord says, the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, he says, ah, I will rid myself of my adversaries and take vengeance on mine enemies. So Pastor Spencer would like to give us homework for this week. This is the end of the teaching. But in the homework, he realizes that many of us, because we've had bad experiences with fathers or had difficulty trusting God as a father, or maybe have never really heard that God wants to be a father to us in an intimate, personal way, which is what he does. Okay, he wants us to go home. And every time we pray this next week, instead of praying to Jesus or instead of praying to the Holy Spirit, he wants us to pray to like Daddy God or Papa God. And that can be difficult because many times we think we're being sacrilegious or we're not honoring God. But as long as our hearts carry that reverence, awe for him, he wants us to call him Papa and Daddy and to have that intimacy with him. Jesus called him Abba, Father. And Abba is like the most intimate form of Daddy, Papa that you can get in Hebrew, you know, or Aramaic. So that's our homework. Okay, everybody got that? We need to do that because God will respond to us. He'll respond to this. And he will show himself more and more a father to us. And his father's love is incredible. It's so nurturing. You know, it blows my mind. My whole life with God, I didn't get saved till I was well into adulthood. But I didn't understand the love of God the Father. I understood Jesus a little bit and the Holy Spirit a little bit less. And then there was a season where God revealed himself as Papa God. Such a nurturing. I never knew that what I viewed as male, because we call God, he's a spirit, he's not really male or female, but could be so nurturing, you know, like incredible mother nurturing. And so just want you to know that God wants us to go into a deeper relationship with him and to really be able to trust him and just to be open with him, just ourselves with him, because he wants to transform us. And when we are in the presence of the Lord, okay, in his presence, we will be transformed. We will be changed. It's not just the outside. If we're having anger issues where we stop getting angry, it's the inside where there is no longer that cause for anger in us. You know, we all are dealing with stuff and issues, and God wants to, when we're in his presence, just transform us. And he does. And he does because he loves us so much. And it frees us up. How many of us have gotten in trouble because of anger issues? It's like he doesn't want us to get in trouble. He wants us to be able to be successful and be at peace, but also to reflect him and to reflect the nature of God and the love of God, that people will know us because we are his disciples. Okay. And let me see. We're praying to Daddy and not to God. Maybe I need to rephrase what I said. It's not that we can't pray to, no, he's saying pray to Daddy and not to God. So when you pray, instead of saying God, say Daddy. Do that for the next week and see how that all turns out. And again, Romans 8:15 says, you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. That's what the scripture says. That's for us. That's not for Jesus. That's for us. Abba, Father. And in the culture that this was written in, if you had a natural-born biological son or daughter, you could disown them and disinherit them. But if you adopted a child, you could never disown them. You could never disinherit them. And so God wants us to know we are adopted into his family. Once we've received Christ as Savior, he will never disown us. He will never abandon us. He will never leave us. And he wants to work in our lives, and he wants to walk alongside us. He wants to love and move through us. You know, Pastor, on Sunday we heard about the gifts of the Spirit and how God wants to use us and move within us. So just pray about that this week and seek God. And I know that God is bringing all of us into that deeper relationship with him, more intimacy, which means we may need to make more time to be with him. I've heard that from several people where God has told them, you're not spending enough time. And they were reading the Bible and doing studies and stuff, but God, we need some time just to be with God. You know, sometimes just to be and sit at his feet and listen. Because there's a lot God wants to say to us and to share his heart with us. Again, as Jesus has said, he called his disciples friends. And he wants to be that friend, you know, to us. So thank you so much for coming. Father God, we just pray as we go for safety going home. And Lord, draw us, oh God, draw our hearts, Lord, closer to you. Help us, God, to know you more. To know you more and more fully, oh God. And may we be filled with more of the fullness of your Godhead, oh God. More fullness from your Spirit, Lord. May we walk so that people around us will see your love through us, your light through us, Lord. And that we can truly have a strong witness for who you really are, oh God. So that people will understand that you want to love them and you want to make their lives better and you want to bring them into a place of eternal family relationship with you as adopted children. So we give you praise and thanks tonight. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're also taking up an offering. Pastor Spencer says you never come to the house of God without bringing a gift. So God is giving us an opportunity to give. Hey, exercise that giving gift. So, Chris? Where'd Chris go? Hi, Chris. Yeah. Chris is going to bring the offering container. So, thank you so much. Have a good night.